everyone. This is Maya, welcoming you to today's fifth live podcast organized by the Berkeley Institute for Jewish Law and Israel Studies. Join us for virtual gatherings to keep up to date with topics related to Israel and to Jewish law, thought, and identity. Today's episode is titled, Mental Health and the Politics of Trauma in Israel, A Nation on the Couch. We'll discuss trauma and its intersections with culture and national belonging, a topic that feels even more relevant today. We'll also discuss PTSD and trauma in the Israeli case, as well as the possible ramifications of today's global crisis on national belonging, on trauma, and on mental health. We have with us today Karen Friedman-Peleg, who is a senior lecturer at the School of Behavioral Science and the head of the President's Program for Excellence at the College of Management Academic Studies in Israel. Welcome, Karen. Karen, how are you doing under the current circumstances? I wonder how you are applying your own knowledge of trauma and resilience to yourself and your family at this moment.
So thank you, Maya. Thank you for having me. It's interesting because, you know, I'm an anthropologist and I deal, as you said, with trauma. And when this, you know, health crisis of the coronavirus has started in Israel and obviously all across the globe, it seemed at first very far from the topic of my ethnographic research. But then as the days passed, I've started to realize that maybe it is not so far, and maybe, just maybe, these concepts of trauma and resilience, which is an interesting topic in this context of the crisis. So maybe they are more relevant than what I thought at the beginning. And, you know, after, let's say, a couple of weeks, I understood that, in fact, this is it. I mean, what we have here is an overwhelming event, an unfamiliar situation to all of us, one that really cuts across national and cultural borders and national and cultural boundaries, truly global, and it fits. It fits not only to the definition of trauma, you know, with the very fast and so dramatic changing of everyday life, but also, and I think that especially, and I'd love to hear what all of you think, it fits to the definition of resilience. I mean, it is amazing. It's fascinating to see how individuals and communities really all across the globe have been using different, so diverse resources of coping with this new situation, and especially, and I think that maybe, at least for me as an anthropologist, above all, the so powerful effort to find meaning, to find some kind of meaning in this global crisis. So in that sense, this crisis takes me back to the, let's say, very heart of anthropology, the efforts of individuals and communities to find meaning. I mean, if we take seriously, and I think we should take seriously, the argument made by the American anthropologist Clifford Geertz, to think about each and every one of us as, you know, I'm quoting, as animal suspended in webs of significance, he himself has spun, then we can really think about the cultural dynamics surrounding this crisis and how the meaning, this really key concept in anthropology, the meaning attached to this overwhelming situation might change from one social group to another, from one family to another, from one person to another. So these are strange and hard days, but I think that at the same time, they also invite us to reflect on key issues such as culture, nationality, coping resources, our own home, and the meaning of home. So it is a challenging situation.
Thanks, Karen. Your research looks at the intersection of national belonging and trauma, as you touched on. Could you tell us just a bit more about their intersection?
Okay, this is fascinating because I've started to explore this intersection of trauma and nationality, or trauma and national belonging, in 2004 as a part of my PhD studies at Tel Aviv University. Those were the days of the Second Palestinian Intifada. Then came the Second Lebanon War in 2006. And basically, I decided to conduct an ethnographic fieldwork at two leading NGOs in Israel, at the Israel Center for Victims of Terror and War, Natal. I'm not sure if you have heard about it, but it's a prominent NGO in Israel, and the Israel Trauma Coalition, the ITC. And to tell you the truth, I think that right from the beginning, I heard from many Israeli trauma experts that trauma is trauma is trauma. PTSD is PTSD is PTSD. But, however, and this but, or this however, is exactly the cultural, political, social components of trauma I've been looking at. As one of the Jewish Israeli psychiatrists I interviewed once told me, trauma is trauma is trauma, but trauma as a result of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict is a trauma with unique aspects, because a large part of its impact stems from your being not just a person who lives here, but also you're an Israeli and a Jew. And this is, as he said, what makes this trauma a unique form of mental vulnerability, which is, at least to some extent, part of the Israeli Jewish identity in Israel. And I think that this link between the clinical label of trauma and social markers of collective identity is basically what makes this topic so challenging and so fascinating, at least for me. Basically through, anthropological lenses and based on participant observations and in-depth interviews, my research asks to expand, expand the discussion of trauma from that of an individual experience, the experience of one individual, to an experience formed within multiple spheres of influence. And what I'm trying to do is to identify the ways through which the professional task of diagnosing, of treating trauma in Israel has been shaped, has been fueled by cultural and political components, such as the Zionist ideology of Israel and collective values in Israel. And maybe just to give you one more example, I remember one interview I conducted several years ago with a senior Jewish Israeli psychologist. And I remember that I opened the interview by asking her why. Why, from her point of view, why we should consider trauma as a result of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict to be of, let's say, particular interest in comparison, for example, of, you know, to trauma as a result of sexual abuse or as a result of a car accident. And I remember very clearly that she looked at me and she said, I'm quoting, "There is a thing about a feeling of a mission. It's something that's beyond the individual." And she said, and this is, you know, I'm not sure how I feel about it, and I'm curious to hear from all of you. She said, "I think that in rape, women don't feel at that moment that they represent the feminine gender. And the thing with trauma as a result of the conflict is that people represent something. It's madness with justification, madness with meaning." Here it is once again, this key concept in anthropology, the key concept of meaning. And I think that, you know, here it is. Here it is. You can actually see, you can hear how this psychologist, as many of her colleagues, many of her Israeli colleagues, combines social markers of collective identity, you know, national belonging, religious identity, with the emotional experience of the individual, and how this clinical label of trauma has come to play, I think, a crucial role in the, let's say, ongoing process of constructing the meaning of being Jewish and of being Israeli.
Thank you, Karen. So many questions to stem off that. But firstly, I'm curious, you touched on the fact that that if it's kind of related to, if trauma is related to a mission or to a story, it's different. But I wonder, firstly, if that's kind of, if that could possibly be, or if you would identify that as part of the healing process, like if that is part of your effort to move past something, to kind of place meaning on it, or to place some kind of narrative. And then my other question is, other types of trauma, such as sexual violence, I wonder if movements like Me Too, or like as you see emergence of kind of global collectives around a certain topic, whether that might be something that makes it either different or easier for someone to attach meaning or attach like strength or resiliency from.
So this is a wonderful question, and I think that this aspect of, you know, collective identity and how patients and therapists create this link between the individual emotional experience of trauma and collective narratives of community, of nation, using, you know, historical and cultural and political components is indeed, it might serve as a crucial component in the process of healing. And for sure, you know, think, as you have mentioned, you know, the Me Too movement, we can think about political movements such as Black Lives Matter and other movements. I think that in the very heart of these activities, we can find this effort to connect the dots, to connect the dots between the I and the we. And this is exactly where I'm coming from this effort to expand the discussion, to think about trauma from a broader perspective. And, you know, the American anthropologist Tanya Luhrmann from Stanford University, she has defined trauma as, I'm quoting, the great psychiatric narrative of our era. And I think it's true. And you can see it in the US. You can see it here in Israel. I mean, in Israel, there is such a powerful ongoing social dynamic surrounding this clinical label of trauma. I mean, obviously, if we think about this process of constructing identity, so the historical, the collective experience of the Holocaust has always been part of the Zionist ideology and has always served as a crucial component from the collective Jewish identity and from the Jewish-Israeli identity. And, you know, we can even move further and can think about the Yom Kippur War, the War of 1973, you know, and the Israeli society has become much more receptive to security-related mental vulnerability. So you can see this ongoing process of constructing collective identity vis-a-vis traumatic experiences. And I think that in the last, let's say, the last three decades, especially since the second Palestinian Intifada, and after that, the war in Gaza in the summer of 2014, we can see a new alliance, if I may call it that way, if we can put it that way, a new alliance between the label of trauma and the collective identity of many Israelis. So, you know, just two main points. Since the second Palestinian Intifada and after the war in Gaza, we can actually see how, number one, how the clinical labels of trauma and PTSD have been integrated into the discourse on national security and collective identity in Israel. And number two, we can actually see, as a part of this process, how these clinical labels of trauma and PTSD have been, let's say, expanded from narrow labels referring to the psychological state of the individual to new aid policies. In fact, this is what we see on the border of Israel and Gaza, but maybe we will speak about it after, as a part of the Q&A part.
Thank you. So yeah, I think I was going to ask a bit about how the perception towards PTSD and trauma has evolved. Kind of touched on that.
Yes.
Do you see that it's, where do you see it going forward? Do you see that it's, do you think it's going to continue to gain prominence? Do you see that we're, like, where in that kind of process is Israel right now in terms of language?
Well, I think it's interesting because in my current project, I focus on resilience and I've been trying to examine the new aid policy framed as building resilience. This is not my title. is actually the title of the Israeli authorities. So actually in the last few years, we can see how the Israeli authorities basically have tried to operate a new aid policy framed as building resilience among communities living along, you know, Israel's southern periphery. And it, for sure, this is this entire fascinating project has come as a part of this process of acknowledging trauma, speaking about trauma, integrating trauma to the national discourse about security in Israel. And what I'm trying to do is based on interviews with practitioners and mental health experts involved in establishing and operating new aid platforms, referred to as resilience centers, and based on participant observations at professional gatherings and therapeutic interventions, I'm trying to show that within this new context of mental health support along the border of Israel and Gaza, there is an ongoing negotiation. There is an ongoing negotiation between diverse social players, you know, diverse participants. And this negotiation over experiences of home, over experience of belonging, over the experience of justice and injustice and solidarity in Israel. And what I found to be, you know, fascinating is the fact that this negotiation brings to the table, brings new, less familiar voices. New voices into the mainstream discourse on national security and on identity in Israel. And usually these voices, for example, from the side of Arab Bedouin practitioners, these voices emphasized, you know, long-term sources of pain, long-term sources of violence, of suffering, of trauma, beyond the threat of, let's say, rocket attacks. You know, basically, I can say that they have tried to emphasize trauma and violence and pain and fear that produced from the very inside, of what are assumed to be safe zones, you know, the national and private home. And just to think, you know, about these days, and I'm taking here, you know, kind of a like shift, but I'm just thinking about the Bedouin women I met in unrecognized villages and in permanent towns in the Negev. And I'm thinking about these days when everybody is ordered to stay at home. And for some of them, for many of them, home is not a very safe place. And I think that, you know, speaking about this health crisis and about the binary opposition between the private and the public spheres and the outside and the inside, we assume that home is a safe place. Obviously, it's not always the case. And, you know, this new ethnographic project actually brought at least to my attention the fact that trauma is trauma is trauma, but we need to be very sensitive to the you know, different contexts, even within Israeli society, and the sources of trauma might come from the outside, like as a part of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, but obviously they can always, and sometimes, can come from the very inside of our own homes. So this is just, you know, food for thought in these hard days of the coronavirus.
That's the perfect segue into looking a little bit more into today's crisis and maybe different aspects of it that can be considered, or the question whether they are traumatic, whether they are part of this conversation. So one story that I read recently talked about like the difficult decisions that doctors have to make right now, and their mm-hmm. shortages of supplies, their shortages of ventilators, and deciding, for example, on a daily basis over and over, which patients to take ventilators away from, and those kinds of questions where, you know, lives are on the line and hard decisions are made. I wonder if you feel that there's also some PTSD or trauma coming from that direction, from like caretakers and practitioners in that kind of context. And then also just more broadly, if this is a moment of trauma, is it a moment of national trauma, and how does the national kind of element come in?
Well, this is a wonderful question. So just to say that, you know, there are research, anthropological research about the training process of doctors and nurses, and I believe they, as a professional community, they have resources that they can use, they can apply in order to give some kind of meaning to this really overwhelming situation. But, you know, as an anthropologist, I know that culture has a lot to teach us about the ways through which traumatic events, and this is a traumatic event. So, you know, the ways through which traumatic events have been conceptualized and treated, and, you know, here we can find, this is a global trauma, but of course we can find and we can think about the significant differences between and within nations. I think that the main challenge now, and this is what I see in Israel in the last couple of weeks, and maybe also in the US, but in Israel for sure, the main challenge is how to build, how to create, how, and then to maintain one mechanism of coping with this evolving trauma, one mechanism of coping based on obviously professional guidelines. But at the same time, we need to be very, very sensitive and very much aware of the differences between communities and between social groups. And we need to be very respectful to the different resources of coping that different communities bring with them. I mean, I'm thinking about the ultra-Orthodox community here in Israel and what is going on right now, and the discussion I can hear via Zoom, my Israeli, most of them secular students, and the way they feel about coping mechanisms during these hard days. And, you know, they might be judgmental or might feel frustrated about the daily behavior of other social groups in Israel. And this is the challenge of all of us, you know, as members of our communities, but especially as, you know, as anthropologists, to bring this sensitivity to the discussion, to the public discussion about the coronavirus crisis.
Thank you so much, Karen.